You are now leaving your body and entering another realm with your host, Katie Hamilton.
You're listening to River West Radio. This is Life is Awkward. We have a special guest today. I am so excited she's here. I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Hi, my name is Analicia Gonzalez. I am a local creative. I am a part of a collective called the Renaissance Bees. We focus on creating a conscious community through events curated to connect, heal, and empower people in our community.
Lovely.
So do you want to kind of go into a little bit more about what you guys do or stuff like that?
Yeah, sure. So we actually hosted one event. We're kind of in our first stages of our collective. Our first event was centered around femininity, and so it was all female-based. All of the people attending were female, and we focused on creating a space, a safe space for women to, be themselves and to get ready for the new year. It was right before the new year, so we did some activities. One of them included a meditation, and it focused around being aligned for the new year, taking away the past, traumas and things that they wanted to let go in the new year. And then we also did a letter to themselves for the new year and what they wanted to accomplish. And then we also did a workshop in which I hosted. I'm also a dancer, so I led a central dancing. So that was cool.
So then are they going to come back and read those letters and see if they accomplished those things eventually?
I think everybody took theirs home. Right now, mine is actually sitting right next to my bed, so I get to read it every day. And I included, my first line is, "This is the year of surrender," and I keep that in mind.
What are you surrendering from?
Just surrendering to life and everything that it has to offer. Allowing myself to be vulnerable. Trying to let go of my pain and who I think I am and who I was and who I want to be. And just being.
Just being. It's lovely. How do you do that? I've been trying to do that for so long, and I'm not sure if I'm quite there.
No, I think it comes in moments. It's not something that just is. It's difficult because we, as a society, have made it difficult to just be with all of this noise, especially with, like, technology. And so in order to just be, it's a practice. It really is. You have to learn how to shut off sometimes or to, like, really appreciate what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always feel a grand momentum of time pushing me forward, and to stop and let it just kind of flow around you like a rock in the river is not something that is built into our society as an easy path to take.
No, I'm like curious how long it took you to realize these things and just kind of become this type of person, or unless you were always like this.
Right. It's definitely a process. I think within the past few years, I've definitely done a lot of inner work. I think part of that is like almost like you have to be alone with yourself a lot and talk to yourself and like really think about why you think the way that you think and why what in your past makes you think this way. Like for me, I have a pretty difficult past. I'd come from not a rough place, but just like I lived in poverty most of my life, and I had pretty traumatic things happen in my life. My mom was domestically abused basically my whole life. And my parents were very young parents. So they split up and were never together. So I never had that, you know, relationship of like a mom and a dad in a home. I was always kind of moving place to place. We moved around a lot. And then as I got older, I think a lot of that toxic mentality came into my life, and I actually entered an abusive relationship. And so that was very difficult. I was in it for a pretty long time. I dated the guy from 14 to like 18. And so I had to really, once I left, it took a lot. And once I did, like, I really had to look at myself in the mirror and be like, who do you want to be? Do you want to hold on to this pain? Or do you want to, like, grow? Do you want to be better, really?
That's very powerful, because I think people deal with these situations, and, like, everyone's story is unique, and, like, what you went through is your own individual story. And I hope that people listening to this can be more like you and kind of break away from whatever they're struggling and really... Because I know it's difficult to, like, get inside your own mind and, like, realize these thoughts and think, like, why are you thinking like this? Mm-hmm. And I would love for you to share more about how you do these things to maybe help other people and just more self-actualization type things.
Yeah. I actually learned about self-actualization, which is a theory made by this guy named Maslow. And it's kind of like... So what self-actualization is, like, realizing your full potential. And I kind of say this all the time, that I'm kind of in line. I feel like lately, I feel like I'm, like, right at the precipice, like, right about to cross this line. But it takes a lot in order to get there, because we have these needs, is what he describes them as. And so, like, you need your physiological needs, right? You need to breathe, you need to have water, you need to have food, you know, like, your basic needs. And some people don't have that. Luckily, I can say, like, for most of my life, luckily I did have, like, a roof over my head or, like, food in my belly, but not a lot of people can get past that, where they can get to a place where they feel good or, like, feel mentally okay, because they're surviving. Mm-hmm. They're just surviving. And that's also a part of, like, the next level for needs is, like, safety. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck, to realize, you know, there's to be self-actualized. And that's kind of like the security of your body, your resources, health, property, and, like, your environment, and even, like, your mortality, your moral compass. Like, if that stuff isn't secure, and if you're constantly battling that, how are you supposed to reach your full potential and be this person that you want to be, or this person who's full of light and love and wants to help other people and create, if your environment is making it hard, or even in your own head, you don't feel safe?
That's very interesting, because, I mean, I know I personally deal with, like, struggles of, like, fear of dying and, like, fear of, like, mortality and stuff, like you were saying, and it is hard to, like, focus in the now and, like, what I want to do with my life when I'm so, like, caught up in my head about scaring about something that's going to be happening in the future. And it's like, why am I worrying about these things when I should be worrying about, like, what's happening today and, like, where I want what I want to do in this life, not about the end.
Right.
So it's, like, interesting that you say, just that you need to, like, focus on things, like, not like that, and just be more aware.
Yeah, I think awareness is, like, so key. Is like, I'm very for, like, self-reflection and, like, going into your own head, which I think is very difficult. Not many people, like not many people can go into their mind and think of, like, well, today I feel sad, why is it I feel sad? And, like, really confront that. And, like, maybe it was something from your past, or maybe it was just something small and you still just don't want to think about it because you want to watch a movie and make it go away. You know? And it's very important that we do, because all of these mental blockages and these mental barricades that we've created for ourselves ultimately make it harder for us to connect to other people and to connect with ourselves, with nature, with, you know, with a higher being, whatever you believe that is, or if you do believe in it. But yeah, it's crazy what our minds can do. It can be either very good or very bad, you know?
Yeah, you talked about self-reflection, and earlier we had talked a little bit about not being able to share, like, what you want. Like, I was thinking about the lack of community reflection, so the ability to come and talk to people about trauma without being afraid of being judged. So, because I have... I do self-reflection, but I have issues
with trust.
with trust. Well, not even with issues of trust. Like, I can just go up to people and be like, hey, how's your day going? And I'm like, I'm doing really bad. I'm depressed. And they don't know how to react.
Yeah.
I'm being honest. And they kind of get puzzled. And some people react good. Some people react very... Most people react not well. And so I just don't bring it up. And it's just not socially acceptable to tell... to try to heal through the community.
Right.
Which is odd to me.
I think... For that, there takes a level of emotional intelligence. And sometimes when you tell people things like that, some people can't handle it because they're not in the right mental state to take that on. So I think it's important to have communication with whoever it is that you're talking to. Like, hey, like, I'm having a really bad day. Is it okay if, like, are you, do you have the mental capacity to, like, talk to me right now? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think there's a big, like, stigma on talking about mental health and, like, how we're feeling. But as long as we're communicating well and honestly, I think we can push past that and get people to a place where, like, you can come up to me and tell me that, and I can be like, okay, I'll sit down and talk to you, and we'll work it out. Mm-hmm. But it takes a level of emotional intelligence, and we have to be okay with ourselves, which it always comes back to. Like, you have to be okay with yourself in order to help others.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but you'll get more benefit from it on both ends, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, today in society, I find that a lot of people are anxious and depressed and sad. And I mean, there are people that aren't, or they're maybe covering it up and stuff like that, but they don't really want to talk about it. Or like, yeah, like they just... I don't know, but it would be, it is nice when you can, even if like you're both are not feeling like good, you can like hash it out between, and then maybe you say something that makes yourself realize something. Like I was doing that with my friend, like she was going through something, and then like talking to her and like helping her feel better, I realized things about myself, and I was like, oh, like I should be doing this too. So I think that it is very helpful, like to talk to someone. Like people should mention that they're not doing well, because if you say that to someone, then maybe they can actually learn something within themselves too by helping.
Right. You both benefit from the conversation for sure. And I feel like I've been discovering that more and more as of lately. Just like I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I was just telling her about my experience with me traveling, and I was talking about how like I was so scared to go because I was afraid, because I was staying in a hostel, so I was like, I'm afraid like people are gonna like try to steal from me, or like something sketchy might happen. But like I had the most wonderful experience, and it like put trust back into people that I don't know. And so she was talking about how she like doesn't trust people at all, and like how she only has like a small group of friends because she doesn't she's afraid of like making new connections. So like I feel as if like when we talk about these things, we're bringing awareness to it, right? And so that awareness is key, in that we should always be reflecting in everything that we do, you know, like looking inwards, even when somebody else is looking inwards, you are also. I don't know if that made sense, but we're all reflections of each other.
That is very true. That is an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, I read something about infinite regression, which is when you point a camera at its own monitor, and so it goes on for infinity. And so you can sort of have the same effect. Well, they were relating it to panic attacks. So once you're having a panic attack, you're sort of infinitely looping into this regression.
Wow, that's
but
powerful.
The human mind is extremely powerful and extremely dangerous. To itself more than others. But I think in the same way that if you sort of, you can also look into people's eyes, and you can get a similar effect of a positive sort of infinite infinity.
That reminds me of the poem of looking into people's eyes and writing a poem about someone.
Oh, yeah. We all did that.
Yeah, that just made me think of that, because you do really can tell by like looking at someone and kind of like just like even briefly, like kind of getting a sense of like who they are and feeling their energy just right. by, I mean, isn't the saying like the window or the eyes are the window to your soul?
Yes.
So, I mean, I think you can.
And I feel like it depends on the onlooker too, because if they're thinking about something else, mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. something internally might come out. But if mm-hmm. you are sincerely motivated to capture somebody in that way, it can be very powerful what you write down, right?
Right.
And what you see, because you are just being, and you are just an observer in that moment,
mm-hmm.
right?
And you're picking up
something.
And it's reflecting, and then you're reflecting it back off the paper, per se.
I want to hear more about your trip.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, tell us more.
Well, so I took 2 weeks off, and I had a paid time off, so that's why I was allowed to do that. Awesome. So I wanted to make it kind of this big thing. I was actually going to New Orleans for a music festival, so everything was kind of arranged around that. And then I was like, well, if I'm going to take this trip, I might as well take all the trips that I want. So I also booked a trip to Austin because I have a friend who lives down there. And I kind of want to make a big move, make a big life change of going down there. So I already knew that it was going to be kind of a life-changing trip. I just didn't know how intense it was going to be. yeah, so I was staying in a hostel. And my room had 10 people, I believe. And I met so many people. I didn't know that so many people from out of the country stay in hostels in the U.S. Like, it's insane. I met people from, like, Colombia, Brazil, the U.K., mm-hmm. Norway, people from all over. It was very cool, and it was cool to, like, hang out with them in such a fun city, because New Orleans is definitely... Yeah. A crazy one. I definitely had some interesting times, but I think something that was very powerful and impactful is like learning trust in like other people. And I feel like even walking around in Milwaukee, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? What is this person? Why are they looking at me? And so like, I don't necessarily trust people around me, and are always afraid like something bad's gonna happen, right? Right. This like daunting feeling of doom.
Yeah.
Especially as a woman, but I feel like I kind of let that go, and I felt as if like most things in life are inherently good, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like sometimes I lose a lot like sight of that, especially based upon my experiences that I've talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very difficult for me.
Do you lose sight of it, or is it something that is beyond your control, or something that has been sort of... Like, why do you say you did it to yourself, but why do you take that guilt on?
What do you mean by that question?
Oh, just like when you said, like, you made it sound like it was specifically your fault for feeling that way. And my thought was, I don't believe it's your fault. I feel like it's something that society has conditioned into
that's
you.
That's very true. But I believe that if you put out positive energy, right, you're going to receive it back. And so if you're thinking negatively, you might get something negative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah.
Gotta be careful.
So you were able to like break that down and trust these people. Mm. Like, I'm also like, I've always wanted to stay in like hostels and like travel, but that scares me too. I'm like, well, can I trust these people? Like, my stuff's going to be out. Like, I don't know who these people are.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think there's a level of like consciously doing it and being safe. Mm-hmm. You know, like I looked into the hostel and made sure it was like not sketchy or like not. I read the reviews to see like what other people said. So like, definitely you have to like obviously be aware, because there are bad things that do happen. I think it was just like, if I would have went in there and been like super afraid, I wouldn't have made friends, because I would have sat in the corner quietly, you know?
Right. Clutching your bag.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be cautious, but like you said, you have to understand that things are going to get stolen. Yeah. Like, occasionally, right. Like, people are going to be crazy, but you can't let it
affect your mentality and how you navigate.
Yeah.
Well, right, and if everyone is kind of going there, maybe feeling the same way, then... unless they've been doing this before, but if everyone maybe has that like mentality, like, oh, like I'm nervous because I'm afraid someone's going to steal something. But if everyone's thinking that, then
nobody's going to connect. Nope,
yeah. Or, yeah. Or yeah, that too. Yeah. Or just like everyone.
Well, you, at, the same. At that point, I feel like you have a group of people that are, you know, like they're the likelihood that they're all going to be good is good. Is pretty high.
Right.
And if there's one bad apple in there, like the rest will kind of right. help protect each other. They protect the group of good people. And so yeah. Once you get in there, like you start protecting each other and you can start relaxing more.
Did yeah. you guys have any self-awakening moments all together? Just wow. meditation nights?
Not necessarily. I think we had a lot of crazy nights. The hostel that we stayed at, they did the events each night. And so like one of the nights we went swing dancing, which was, that was really fun and cool. And then Tuesday we went to like an arcade bar, which was a little lame. So we ended up going to a karaoke bar, which nice. Was super fun. And then we went to like a burlesque show. So like, it was a lot of like activities, like kind of going out and like, you know, doing things rather than what I'm preaching about now, with like just being.
No, I mean, that is a form of being, is
it's
active.
Moment.
You're being active and you're experiencing people and like, yeah, you're being in the moment. It's all related.
This is true.
I mean, do you find like going out, because I feel like it could be both ways, like you have to kind of be by yourself and like listen to your thoughts and think like why you're feeling the way you're feeling, but then also like when you go out you realize like what kind of person you are or don't want to be, because you're like with these groups of people or you're like experiencing these certain situations at these different places that you go to, that you might realize like, oh, I like doing this or I don't like doing this.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot of my trip was like kind of like self-discovery, like maybe I shouldn't go up into the heat when there's a bunch of people up there because it's really uncomfortable and somebody threw up on the floor, you know? Yeah. Maybe that's just not for me.
Yeah.
But
takes a person. Takes a certain person.
I'm all about that personally.
I mean, they were having the time of their lives. Yeah, so I mean,
more power to them.
Right. But yeah, definitely you learn what you want to do and what you don't want to do. Yeah.
It's a continually learning process.
Right. Well,
if you, once you stop opening yourself to learning is when you start to regress.
Yeah. You always need to be a student of life.
Yes.
And wherever it takes you, you just have to be courageous in order to do that.
Courageous, yes.
And also vulnerable.
That's the hard part. You have to unshield yourself to let certain things in.
Right.
And then your heart is exposed, per se. And that's when, you know, the feelings of fear can set in. But that's a lot of fear-mongering. A lot of fear-mongering going on today. And I think we're easy targets, being the spiritual. We're spiritual, but we don't have a construct, a collective construct and open platforms. Because you were talking about mysticism.
Yeah.
And that's something I feel like we don't necessarily lack, but there's not a connective tissue throughout our
like generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we're stepping away from it. I think it's just more difficult to connect with like the way that society is right now with, you know, technology and even just like, we walk on sidewalk. We don't walk on the grass.
Which know? I am annoyed by that. I like walking barefoot.
I had a neighbor that only, he would not walk on the sidewalks. He would like go on the grass and he would run barefoot through the grass. And I was like, why do you do that? And he's like, oh, because I pick up like the energies from the grass or something. And I was like, that's, I don't think people really think of that. They just look at you like, why are you walking on the grass?
And we've kind of lost like, you know, religion with all of its dogma can be a little daunting. But I think something that they did have right is coming together as a community. And sometimes we just don't have those community spaces anymore to like be our spiritual beings that we are.
Yeah. Or just be people in general.
Right.
Yeah, just that general community interaction. Our community is based on a fracturing of pages on a digital server somewhere. And so I don't think we're ever quite on the same page.
Yeah.
Literally.
I think there's good and bad things to it.
Yeah.
yeah, it can definitely create distance, right?
Distance and, but also connection. So I guess that's a weird world that we live in.
Right. It's like a huge paradox.
Yeah. Well, I feel like everything's on demand, so we could all demand it. Like the collection of spirituality, we could all demand it, but when can we do it at the same time, or what is it, or how do we do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's a question for everyone at this point. I think social media is interesting too, because, you know, there are so many like holistic spiritual pages that are bringing awareness to people who, you know, maybe may not know about these things. So I think it can be a tool, but it also, if not used properly, can create even more distance, because you're mm-hmm. not really physically connecting with people,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Right. Not looking them in the eyes.
Not looking into that, into the universe.
Right.
Yeah, each other's universe, for sure. Yeah. Talk about infinity. Or infinity.
Infinity.
Infinity, not infamy. Not infamy, but infinity.
Are there any other tips that you would like to share with our listeners, just about how to maybe be more self-aware, or anything that you've found that helps you?
Yeah, for me, I think getting outside of my comfort zone, and I think you guys talked about this in your last podcast, which is cool, and just like doing things that make you uncomfortable, mm-hmm. you know, like having that talk where like, I'm sad, mm-hmm. can you talk to me? Or like engaging with somebody who's telling you that, mm-hmm. or you know, like me, I went to and traveled and did all of these things that made me kind of uncomfortable, like staying in a hostel.
Mm-hmm.
So just really like getting outside of yourself, and then also getting inside of yourself. For me, I'm a writer, so I like to write things. So, you know, writing how I'm feeling, journaling is a very great tool. 'Cause even like today, I wrote a letter to my mother, and I reread it today, and I was like, wow, I can really see the mental space I was in, and I'm so proud of myself for getting past that, you know? So it's a cool tool to look back on, too.
A big leap in just one day?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was asking if it was. Or, like, are you ever surprised at how far you can come in a few seconds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you're an anxious person. Have you ever been anxious and then it completely goes away?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the best feeling once it goes away.
Well, in part, I've read that, like, you get a high off of it. So in a way, you start becoming addicted to the anxiety because you get a high afterwards, which is something I can identify with. Being a person who's suffered from panic attacks and stuff, is that eventually you're just like, you kind of give into it because you kind of have to, or at least you think you do. But then once you're out of it, it starts kind of becoming a drug in that way, because all of a sudden all that anxiety is gone, and I do experience like this mysticism, this oneness with the universe, because
it's gone.
Yeah.
It's a powerful feeling. One with yourself.
Being one.
With everything around you.
Well, I'm going to put Annalisa's Instagram and the handle for her
collective.
I was like trying to think of the right word for her collective on the link below this podcast. So if you would like more information, you can head over there. I want to thank her for coming on today, and thanks for listening to River West Radio. This is Life is Awkward.
This is the sound of you re-entering society.